This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Hey, we got people in the room. We got people at home. So let's do this in the room because we're socially distanced. Why don't we wave at each other? And then if you're online, if you'll just say, right, wave, and where you're waving fun, that's good. That's great. It's good to see people. Good to have people starting to come back in the room. And you're seeing some of the renovations that are happening. We're a couple of weeks away from being completely finished. But God's so faithful, and it looks so cool in here. And it's good to have you and be able to worship not only online, but in person and being together. Today, if you have your Bible, Mark chapter 4, you can go ahead and get there. This is week 3 in our series we're calling Forward. We're going to keep working through that series. It's so important. A couple of things to kind of draw your attention to. One, our school district has asked us and many other churches to help out with students being at home and needing supplies. So we are doing a supply drive for Old Town Elementary. We have a goal of 200 students. And so you can get that. There's lists out there. Look at our Facebook page. info@bridgeschurch.net is where you ask questions. And we're going to collect it through next Sunday and pack them and give them out to the students through the school. So we're excited about that. Something else to kind of keep in the back of your mind or in the forefront of your mind, we're going to start small groups again in the fall. We've learned so much how to do small groups online, how to do hybrid groups, which is partly in person, partly online. And we're really excited about this fall. We're going to do a coordinated effort and really just kind of unify the church, get us moving together. So just put that in the back of your mind. Be ready for that. We'll announce more information coming soon. As we work into week 3 of this series, again, we're talking about faith. I've talked to several people who are struggling with their faith. They're struggling with, where is God during this time? God seems distant. It's just a little bit of a battle going on in their world. And so that's probably very natural for all of us to be going through that. It is a difficult time. It's uncertain times. We don't know how to kind of approach it. We've never been there before. And I think that as God takes us through this time, there's a lot to learn through this because we feel isolated, because we feel distant from God and from people. And it's through those times that God really teaches us. And I think that's what he wants us to do. Because here's something I've observed, at least, is that having faith is harder when times are tougher, right? And the more you spend time with Jesus, I think it gets a little bit easier. But still, something will hit your life. And then living with faith or having faith is simply harder when times are tougher. When times are good, it's easy to follow Jesus, right, and to trust him. And it's just like, oh, this is easy. But then things get a little bit harder, and we're going, okay, I'm not sure where he is. And so we experience that. But not only that, there's something to do with faith, And here's the deal. When fear goes up, I think faith goes down. Have you noticed that in your life? It's not just hard times, but when we begin to fear things, when fear enters our life, there's a kind of a meter going on in our life. As fear goes up, faith tends to go down. They're kind of attached to one another. And so the more we see fear around us in our culture, in our own world, the lower our faith tends to go. And I think God wants to speak into that today and through this period of how we can make our faith go up and our fear goes down. And we want to talk about faith this way. This has been our definition of faith the whole time, is that faith is not a set of ideas. It's not just a bunch of statements that we follow. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Specifically, what we're talking about is faith in Jesus Christ. And I love the word complete, right? Don't you wish you were there? I wish I was there with complete faith in God. And there are times where gaps show up. There's time when holes maybe appear in my faith, and I'm not quite there with complete trust or complete confidence, yet God keeps drawing me closer in my trust in him. And that's what we really want to talk about. Now, last week we talked about faith in a sense that I want to kind of flip the switch and talk about fear. So fear is not something we always want to talk about, but I'm going to ask you some questions to think through, just like we asked last week, some questions about what do you believe about faith. This week, I'm going to ask you, what do you believe about fear? So we'll start with this question. What do you fear? What do you fear in the world? And some people, it's really simple things like bugs. We found out this morning there are certain people in our group that are afraid of bugs. We heard some screams this morning when we came in just a few minutes ago. Maybe bugs are your thing. Could be technology. Some people are afraid of technology, and that's certainly understandable. We get it like we're going to break this thing or we don't know how to work it. Some people are afraid of a little bit deeper stuff, right? When you take a deep dive into fear, some people are afraid of being alone. They're afraid of wasting their life, like getting on the wrong pathway. Some people are afraid of relationships, and they're afraid of trust, and they're afraid of abandonment, and they're afraid of the wheels coming off, or maybe they're afraid of not being accepted. They're afraid maybe what they believe isn't true. Maybe they fear of not being able to change or getting through something. I mean, when you really deep dive into fear, if you're really honest with yourself, there are fears inside all of us. And really going into that is the only way to really unravel those and uncover those to figure out where do we need to grow and where do we need to mature as we grow in our faith. So kind of just let that settle for a minute. What do you fear? Do you fear God's not going to come through in your life? Do you fear people are going to let you down? What is it you fear? Second question to kind of take us a little deeper in that is, why do you fear what you fear? Why do you fear it? What is it about that thing that causes you to be afraid? I'm going to be vulnerable for a little bit. You might make fun of me for this, but I'm a little bit afraid, and I actually don't like snakes. Never have liked snakes. And I was going to tell a story how a couple of weeks ago I was working in the yard, and I almost stepped on a stake, and it made me back up 2 steps out of just fear. I mean, I just felt it. And I was going to tell that story until Friday happened. And Friday happened, I was out walking the dog, and I came home, and God wanted to teach me a little bit more about fear. And there was a snake curled up near our front door. It was about a 4 or 5 foot black snake. And I know they're black snakes, and I know they're not deadly. So I said, I just don't want them on my front porch. So I stood within close enough distance I could throw things at him to get him to move. That didn't work. So I squirted him with a water bottle. That didn't work. So I finally decided that he's going to go away after a little bit. I'll just go inside. And I went inside, and I couldn't see the snake from the window, so I gave him 30 minutes. I opened the door to see if he had gone away, and I looked down, and he had crawled between our door and our storm door. So when I opened the door, I basically was saying to the snake, come on in, which is a bad thing when your wife and your mother-in-law who lives in our house, when they're afraid of snakes. My worst fear was that thing is going to come into our house. So I was very rude to the snake, and I closed the door on it. And then I went around to the screen door, and I took the rake, and I gently led it away to another property. Okay, sorry, Hugh, if you're watching this, I took the snake to your yard. I kind of pushed it there. So I think about that. Why am I afraid of snakes? And I don't like them. Some of you have snakes. You hold them. That's very great for you. I'm not that person. When I was a kid, my mom told us the story of how she went out at our house to put the trash in the trash can. Outside, she opened the lid. There was a copperhead that jumped out at her. And so for my life, I've been a little bit of afraid that I'm going to open the trash can and there is a snake. And when I was little, Miss Gladys, who was the world's greatest babysitter, I love Miss Gladys, except she told the story when I was going to bed. She would tell us all these different stories. She told us the story of the king snake, a terrible story about a man who had a mountain cabin. He took care of this king snake that was all beaten up. He raised it, let it go wild, and then he let the cabin, you know, kind of for winter, and he came back in the spring. He woke up in the middle of the night because there were all these rattles going. He looked at the floor, and the floor is covered with rattlesnakes. Now, you can just stop the story there. That's like my biggest fear. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. I'm going to hear these rattles. I'm going to look down. You can't step on the floor because there's all these rattlesnakes. That just freaks me out. And in the story, the king snake comes back and saves the man, but I don't hear that part because I don't have a best friend who's a king snake, right? All I think about is that thing's going to bite me between my knees and my feet, and that's where I feel it. You ever know where you feel fear? Some of us feel it in the stomach. When I'm around a snake, I feel it between my knee and my foot. Now, you guys are laughing at me. I'll tell you what, though. What's the number one fear in the world? Public speaking. So if you ever want to make fun of me, you get up here on the stage, you talk to people. They were going to add a camera in there that they're recording everything that I'm doing so you can go back and look at all the mistakes I make, right? Adds the fear level. So we'll trade sometime. But why are you afraid of what you're afraid of? Maybe something happened to you when you were a kid. Maybe you came from a broken family and you look at abandonment with huge fear because you know what that's like. Maybe you grew up in an alcoholic family where there was abuse going on, and you know what it's like not to trust a parent, and so you're really afraid of getting close to people. Maybe you had a big failure in life. Maybe you tried something and it didn't work out, and so because of that failure, you're afraid of taking steps, and you look at that. Maybe it was something that someone said when you were a kid. Maybe you were bullied. Bob Goff, a speaker and writer, has talked about how he grew up with freckles. had freckles all over his arms, and kids made fun of him and called him names because of the way his arms looked. And so it really made him fear other people's opinions. Maybe you prayed and God didn't answer a prayer and you're afraid to pray again. Deep diving into fear takes us into this place, go, why do you fear it? What is it about that particular thing that scares you? And then the third question to ask yourself is this: what difference does fear make in your life? What difference does fear make in your life? In other words, what does it keep you from doing? Does it paralyze you? Does it stop you from trusting God? Does it keep you from moving forward in life? What does fear do to you? One of my fears that I have is fear of making it worse. I don't know if anybody else has that fear. It's a type of fear of failure. My fear is that something's going to happen, I'm going to make it a little bit worse, and it's going to get worse and worse. My son and I were preparing him to mow the grass. We checked the oil in the lawnmower, and everything was good. And then we didn't tighten the cap down on the oil dipstick. And so he's mowing grass, it blows oil all over the place, including the muffler. We couldn't figure out quite what had happened. It took some investigation. So I took the muffler off of the lawnmower to see why it was still producing smoke. I thought maybe to clean it. And when I took the muffler off, the thermostat fell out. But I didn't know it was a thermostat. I didn't know what it was. And I couldn't figure out how to get it back in. And suddenly I broke out in sweat. I will tell you, I broke out in sweat because I go, I just made it worse. And now I'm going to have to pay somebody to fix this thing. They go, wow, how come you took the muffler off, and how come you're getting the thermostat off back on? I'll go, I don't know. I just did it. And that's like my biggest fear, I think, is not the mistake. It's telling someone I was stupid. That was all I can say. But I will say that for this particular thing, I did watch YouTube, and a great proud moment of my life. I watched YouTube. It told me how to fix it. I took the lawnmower apart. I put the thermostat back on, which controls the choke. And it worked. I was really proud of that because I overcame a fear. But what difference does fear make in your life? Are you afraid to pray about certain things? Are you afraid to trust God in certain areas? What are you afraid of? And why are you afraid of it? And what does that fear do in your life? For some of you can't get close to people because you have a fear of that. For some people, you can't trust someone. And you look at that and go, how can I change? In this series, we are looking at stories of people with faith. And we're spending most of the time in Matthew. Matthew is a person, his real name was Levi. He's demonstrated great faith by following Jesus, by just walking away from everything. And then he liked to collect stories of people with great faith. Now, there is a story in Matthew that is also in Mark and also in Luke. And I want to look at Mark's way of telling the story. Now, Mark got all his information from Simon Peter, okay? So Mark listened to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter must have given some details that Matthew didn't know. So I like this, and we're going to kind of stop and look at some of the details that Mark has in his story that Matthew did not. So we're in Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. If you have your Bibles open there, on your phones, whatever, we like to walk through and kind of go verse by verse. To set this up, Jesus has been teaching his disciples. And he's been teaching them about the kingdom, and he's been teaching them about faith, and he's about to take them into a deeper lesson on faith, one that doesn't involve teaching with his mouth, and involves teaching with nature and experience, which is one of the greatest teachers that we can have. He took them on a journey of faith. So Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41, this is the ESV version, kind of follow along. And it says in verse 35, on that day, when evening had come. Now, evening is an interesting thing that Mark has that Matthew does not. Why? Because aren't our fears multiplied when it's dark? Some of us are afraid of the dark. And Mark wants us to know through Simon Peter that this event happened at night. And it makes it that much scarier. It says, when evening had come, Jesus said to him, let us go across the other side. Make sure you notice whose idea it was to get out in a boat at night. It was Jesus. Next verse, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Why is that important? Just as he was. Jesus is teaching his followers to follow him. And he said to them, look, when you go out, don't take anything with you. Don't take any food, don't take any extra clothes, don't take anything that you might need later on. This is a journey of faith. And so what he's doing is he's demonstrating that. When Jesus came, he didn't go back to his home base. He just came as he was. He didn't bring any extra food, any extra clothes. He said, I want to teach you what this looks like. It's kind of like if you ever watched the show Bear Grylls. He does a lot of things. He takes out some stars out into the wilderness. He says, we're not taking anything with us. You're just going to have to figure out how to live on the land. That's exactly what Jesus did 2,000 years before. Reality TV with Jesus would have been, we're going to go out there and God's going to take care of us. And they took Jesus just as he was with nothing else. And other boats were with him. Now, the other gospel does not tell us that, but there's other boats. But Jesus is just in one of them. He's in the boat. Next verse. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already feeling. You can feel the danger. The Sea of Galilee is a place where storms hit really, really quickly. And they were out there, and they were experienced, but suddenly they were filling up. And the next verse says this, but he, Jesus, was in the stern. Again, Simon Peter's relating this. He's a fisherman. Matthew doesn't tell us that Jesus is asleep in the stern. That was something that we get from Simon. He's in the back, and in this extra little thing, he was asleep on a cushion. Jesus was making himself comfortable in the back of the boat with all the water pouring in, and he's just there. And they woke him, and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We're going to come back to that in a minute. Next verse, and he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to him, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And it goes on to the next verse. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Before we kind of break this down a little bit more, let's pray together. Father God, your word has so much to teach us today. And you had Simon Peter tell Mark this story, and he wrote it down so we could hear from you today, because your word is living, and your word has authority, and you are a teacher, and you want to teach us about faith. So teach us to trust you through your word. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I look at this story and I notice what's going on, there's a couple of things that I get. Jesus took him out after teaching, and he says, basically, we're going to go for a test. We're going to go out on the lake. It's going to be evening. You're going to be afraid. Jesus, I think, knew all this. The boat's going to fill up with water. You're going to think you're perishing, and then the question is, what do you do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when the storm hits? Where are you going to turn? How are you going to react? And here's a big thing. How are you going to feel about it? And basically what he's telling them is, guys, you failed the test. You failed the test. Because he says, why were you so afraid, and where is your faith? Why didn't you do this right? And I was looking at this going, what could they have done? What should they have done? How could they have passed the test? And if you looked at last week's passage, Jesus was teaching, he was doing different things, and a man with leprosy came to him, and he said, after he bowed down and knelt, he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And I thought about that. The disciples heard it. They could have been in the boat. They could have walked back to the stern. They could have woken him up gently, and they said, Jesus, if you will, you can calm the storm. They heard that. They saw what Jesus did, but they didn't do that. Last week, we also looked at the centurion, a man who had a servant who was paralyzed. And what did he do? He came to Jesus, and he says, Lord, if you just say the word, my servant will be healed. They listened to that. All they had to do was get up in the boat. One of them go to Jesus, wake him up, and say, Jesus, if you just say the word, the waves will stop, and the sea will be calm. They didn't do that. What did they do? They waited. And they waited until their fear was so great and they were so paralyzed by it, but all they could do was go to Jesus out of fear. And this is what they said to Jesus. They woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Where's their faith? First of all, notice what they called Jesus. They called him Rabbi. In the other two stories, they called Jesus Lord. What's wrong with rabbi? What's wrong with teacher? There's absolutely nothing wrong, except that's all they could see in Jesus. You're a teacher, you're a good man, you do some good things, but you have limits, Jesus. You can't really handle the storm. We're afraid. You're just a teacher to us. They put him in a box. You're just a good teacher. And then they accused him of not caring. Have you ever done that before? God, where are you? Don't you care that we're in the middle of this crisis? Don't you care that I don't have money in the bank? Don't you care that there's sickness out? Don't you care that there's a pandemic? Jesus, don't you care? Are you just sleeping in the back of the boat on your cushion? Are you just comfortable up there? Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? And they began to question, out of their fear, they began to question God's love for them and God's care for them. Has it happened to you? Have you looked around at the news? You looked around at our culture and we begin to be afraid and we're going, God, don't you care? Aren't you going to do anything? Can't you see this world's falling apart? Can't you see that we're dying here? Jesus, don't you see what's happening? And I think this is where really fear comes into our world. Because fear makes us feel small, doesn't it? Doesn't fear make us feel small and helpless? Makes us feel vulnerable, makes us feel like something bad's gonna happen. That's what fear does to us. And when we rest in our feelings instead of our faith, bad things happen. If you look at the Old Testament, there's a couple of stories that go along with this, right? When Moses and the people are about to move in the promised land, they sent the spies into the land, and the spies go in, they see what all kind of great things are happening, all this opportunity there, and they came back, and 10 of the spies come back and say, this is a great place. But the people there are like giants. And in their eyes, we look like grasshoppers. We look really, really small and vulnerable. Two of them stood up and they said, yeah, there's scary things out there, but God, you're going to be with us. We feel comfortable with that. But because of the 10 and their fear, everybody else kind of was gripped by fear and it paralyzed them. And they felt really, really small. Another story in the Old Testament is the story of Gideon, right? The people are under attack. Tough things are happening. The economy's falling apart. Gideon's hiding in a hole in the ground. And God comes to him and says, you mighty warrior. And Gideon, what does he say? I'm the smallest person, the smallest tribe, and I feel really, really small. Do you feel small right now? It's easy, isn't it? I feel small sometimes. I feel vulnerable. I feel like everything else is out of control. And it's in those moments that my fear level goes up. My faith level goes down. And Jesus, I think, is saying to me, why are you so afraid? That's what he said in verse 40, right? He kind of gave him this kind of dichotomy. He said to him, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And that's something that fear should teach us. When we're afraid, we need to look at, where's our faith? Where's our trust in him? Now, there is a difference between fear and caution. I want us to understand that, right? There's a difference between fear and caution. The Bible tells us to be cautious. Proverbs 27:12, a verse we looked at several months ago, says this, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The wise people, the prudent people, look around and go, there is a danger out there. I'm sitting in a room with people wearing masks. They're being very cautious, and that's what we've asked you to do. I was wearing a mask while we sang. We're up here on the stage. We take them off. We're around people. We keep our distance. We're being prudent. We are being wise. We are being cautious, but we're not being frozen by fear. We are being wise. I think in this time, if you're vulnerable, you need to be very wise and very cautious, but not paralyzed by fear, because that's a different thing, entirely different. They feel different, right? Being cautious and being wise means you take precautions, you take action, you move forward, and in certain areas, sometimes you can't go out at all. If you're very vulnerable, you need to be very careful, but you're not paralyzed by the fear. You're simply going, I need to change my lifestyle. And I need to trust God in the way that I am living. So fear and caution are two different things. You can be very cautious and have great faith and not have to deal with fear. Fear is that kind of low-grade worry and anxiety, right? Sleeplessness it can cause in our life. It can cause us to really question God. That is what fear does to us. If you go back to the story, though, in verse 41, they were dealing with a different kind of fear there. After Jesus calmed the sea, after he spoke and everything stopped, and it became peaceful again, and their fear of the storm subsided, it says in verse 41, they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Their fear shifted at that point. In Matthew's gospel, it says they were amazed. I like this one. I think Simon Peter's being really honest at the moment. When he's talking to Mark, he says, "Guy, friend, John, I was afraid. But I was afraid of Jesus. I was afraid of what he could do." See, at this moment, Jesus broke out of his box that everybody on that boat had placed him in. They all said Jesus can heal people. He can cast out demons, we get that, but he can't solve my storm. And then Jesus broke out of the box and he spoke to the storm and it instantly ceased. And suddenly their view of Jesus, which had been really, really small, grew really, really big. Because you go, this Jesus is not who I thought he was. Who is he? Who is this? And that's where I think fear can be a positive thing. The Bible talks a lot about the fear of God, where we really see God for who he is. And I think they saw Jesus in all his glory. They saw him in all his power. They saw him in his holiness. And their fear shifted from the storm to fear of God. I was at Promise Keepers. We had the event here. We watched it online. And one of the speakers was talking about, and I love this. He said, you know, we're more afraid of offending our culture than we are afraid of offending the holy God. And I think that is so true. We're so afraid of offending people. And I think it's good to understand we don't want to offend, we don't want to hurt, we don't want to just miss that. But at the same time, we're so afraid of offending them, we're not afraid of offending God. In other words, we would just accept any sin, anything that anybody wants to do, anything we want to do. God's going to forgive us. God's a good God, and he is a great and loving God, but we lose our fear of God. Our God is a holy God. He is a powerful God. He is a God can overcome anything that we may face. And when you see that kind of power, it's a little bit fear-inducing. Because suddenly we see a God that we can't control. A God we can't manipulate. A God that we can't make do something. A God who has a plan. A God who is working through history. A God who is heading somewhere, a God who is taking us somewhere, a God who is moving somewhere, and we go, this is not a God that I can just put into a box and I can make him do whatever I want. This is a God who asks me to give him lordship and authority over my life. And these guys were filled with great fear. The more they got to know Jesus, their faith grew. And I think as their faith grew in him, their fear of him dropped. But it took them a while to get there. They ask, who is this then? Paul in Colossians 1:15 through 17 said this about Jesus, and I think it's something important to us to remember. He said, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's God in the flesh, the firstborn of all creation. If you have lined up everything in all creation, Jesus is at the front. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. It belongs to him. He is the one in control. It's not about what we want. It's not about our life. It's about what he is doing. And then it says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, the wheels aren't going to come off for Jesus. He's in charge. And when I picture that Jesus, my fear begins to shrink and my faith begins to grow because he's above all this. He's above all this and beyond all this, and his power is greater than all this. If he can calm the storm, he can calm the storm in me and the fear in me. Because here's the deal. Storms are going to come up in life. When this pandemic is over, when it's over, there'll be another storm of some kind. These guys face this storm. They're going to face another one in just a few more chapters. Did they learn anything? We're going to find out. Do you learn from the storm? Do you overcome your fear in the storm? Does your faith grow in the storm? George Mueller has this quote. I really love it. It says, the only way to learn strong faith is to endure strong or great trials. Isn't that so true? These guys came out of this storm and they knew something about Jesus, that he has power that they had no idea he had. And while he's a great teacher, he's a lot more than that. And in that great learning experience, they came out with a greater faith. Going back in this passage, such an interesting thing that Simon Peter said. He goes, and there were other boats. There was one boat with Jesus, and there were other boats. Which boat would you have gotten into? You know, next time I'm in a storm, if you're like me, I want to be the boat with Jesus. I know the other ones got to experience the calming of the storm too, but here's the deal. I want to get in the boat with Jesus. Because as long as he's in the boat, nothing's going to happen to the boat. And they went through this trial with Jesus in the boat. Isaiah 41 verse 10, a great thing to remember, and I think Jesus speaks through this. He says, fear not, for I'm with you. I'm in the boat. Get in the boat with me, we'll meet in the boat together. And when he says, I am with you, there's a promise there. It's a promise of, I'm going to help you. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to give you guidance. I'm going to provide everything you need. I am with you is not just a statement. I'm sitting here in the boat, sleeping on a cushion. It's the fact that when it's time, I'm going to say, peace, be still. I'm going to speak it into your life. I'm going to be there for you. He says, don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's what happens. When we're afraid, we grab hold of the promises of God. And we go, God, I trust you. And when I'm afraid and my fear is going up and my faith is going down, I'm going to grab hold of your promises so that my faith goes up and my fear goes down. Because you're the God of the universe. And I trust you, not just in what you say, but I trust you because you keep your word. Maybe you haven't done that in your life. Maybe you haven't entrusted your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been afraid to do that. Maybe you've been afraid of giving him full control of your life. Maybe there's an area that you're holding back. Maybe there's an area you go, I don't want to move forward through this, Jesus. I'm afraid of this. I failed in the past. I tried in the past to make this work. It didn't work. I'm afraid of moving forward, but today maybe is that day. Go, Jesus, you're in the boat with me, and you're telling me to fear not, and I want to move forward. For some, it's the first time giving your life to Jesus. For the rest of us, it's taking that fear, that thing we're afraid of, that God's calling us forward, and we're afraid to take the step. And maybe the day is that time to say, here's my fear. Here's my fear. If you will, you can make it happen. Here's my fear. If you just speak, Jesus, you will change me and you will change my path. I want to pray today that we will continually grow in our ability and our trust in God to give him our fears as we learn to trust him more and more. Let's pray together. Father God, as we read your word, as we dive into it, we know that your Holy Spirit is working. So I pray that you'll expose more of our fears. The fears that hold us back from following you fully and completely. The fears that keep us from trusting you. The fears that keep us from taking the next step to give you fuller and complete trust. Father God, I pray for anyone that's heard your call, whether it's to follow you for the first time or to follow you into deeper things, and they've held back because of fear. I pray that today is the day they get victory over it. For those that battle against anxiety and worry, this is a daily storm for them, and they are riding that out. I pray that every day they'll turn to you and say, Jesus, can you calm the storm in me? Replace this fear with perfect peace. Father, we know you're a good God, and we trust you. Take away our fears. Teach us to listen to your command to do not fear. And may we live that out. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank everybody for being here in the room. Thank you for wherever you're watching. Email us. Let us know any prayer requests. There's a prayer request section in the app that you can use. We're praying for you. We have a team that prays for you. And let's continue to take these steps of faith. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.